I kind of went onto my podcast about 3 days ago as I was putting this together, and a podcast just came up. I just pressed this podcast, and it was the one that was talking to me over a year ago. And it was the one, really, that was talking about the real challenge in TKW and, you know, what are we going to do and how are we going to drive it forward? Because they're really short of funds. They're amazing what they're kind of doing and how many people they're doing it. But we really were really struggling, and we still struggle, but we were still struggling. And I'm not going to spend much time on this slide, but what it was really was something that really spoke to me, really, of this whole story of the friends dropping their friend down into to see Jesus, really, who couldn't, you know, he couldn't walk whatsoever. So anybody who doesn't know the story, basically the friends heard Jesus was in this house. They wanted to get their own friend who couldn't walk and everything like that into Jesus, couldn't get in the front doors and everything like that, so went upstairs, lowered the friend down. And this whole podcast was talking about how desperate are we really for change? Are we really desperate for change? Are we determined to make a difference? And are we daring to step out? And I could be doing a lot more talking about that. But it was really interesting how the link that I had this week straight to that, without me even thinking that that was going to go through, really. And I just wanted just to kind of put up, which I, you know, and I make the point that this is kind of very much for me. So as I was putting it together, this was for me rather than for you, really. You see here, really, in terms of lots of places where God says nothing is impossible with God. Jesus said it on many, many times. Luke 1:37, Matthew 19:26, all recount these situations. Ephesians 3:20, you can see up there in the middle, now to him. And I thought the bit really was that according to the power that works within us, according to the power that works within us, it keeps on talking about the power within us does this all the time, really. But it's really difficult. And I think Lizzie was interesting when she said, you know, it's really challenging when you see these words. You know, we keep being told God can do everything. But do we really think that God can do anything? When things get hard, do we follow through? Do we believe that God can do anything, really? So I'm going to just talk about breakthrough, what you do when you have some difficulties, really, and why do we give up? So when we have difficulties with relationships, when we have difficulties at home, when we have lots of things, when we're at work and we've got difficult colleagues, or we wanted to see change. And I kind of just put a few things. I'm sure you could think lots of different things, really. But, you know, the mountain's too big. The problem looks massive, I don't think. And again, you can see lots of times where God talks about the whole thing about why do we get, you know, the mountain, and that he can make the mountain. We sing lots of praise songs about the mountain can be taken away. And again, do we really believe the mountain can be taken away? Or do we think it only works occasionally? Do we think God just works occasionally? Is it about me? Quite often, it kind of then all of a sudden it gets difficult, and then we start putting it on ourselves. Oh, it's terrible for me. I'm feeling terrible. I'm feeling bad because people are actually talking to me about it, and I'm not feeling good. So it kind of gets back to me, really, when I'm doing it. And then it stops me because I then start beginning to stop because I don't want to look silly. I don't want to actually step out. Oh, maybe it won't work, and therefore I don't want to make it look silly. So I protect myself, and I then don't do it, really. Is it the faith? You know, we all say that we should have faith, but do we really believe God can do everything for us? And I've been really challenged at work in some of the things we've been doing, really. Do we really believe God can change things? And I will just give a couple of stories, really, because I've been really working about how does God work in your work? And I've actually been talking to a few Christians, and I find it really interesting when you ask Christians in their work, what does God do here in the work? They find that question really difficult to explain, really. They can talk about the church, and they can talk about what they're doing in church. But when you say, what is God, and are you praying for that person? Or when you have a really difficult situation, and you say, are you praying for that? And they kind of look at you kind of strange, really. And I have to say, I most likely would have said the same thing a few years ago. I would have kind of said, why would I pray at work, really? I mean, kind of, that's what I do at church. Or your home environment or your friends or whatever. And I put the last one down there, is impatience. I'm really impatient. So we're expecting it to happen immediately. And of course, God doesn't work the same way. And you've got to kind of be patient. And I'm finding that really, really kind of interesting, really, in terms of that. I'm going to spend a very quick time on talking about David. David, for me, is somebody that I kind of relate to from a leadership point of view, what's going on and where he went to. And I kind of just, as I was kind of looking through this, really, First thing is, he was called when he was 12 to 16 years old. We think about between 12 and 16. So really young, he was called to be the king, you know, in terms of what was going to happen. And he was called very quickly to play his lyre. He was somebody who played a musical instrument. Again, quite a small thing. He just played an instrument. And then somebody said, would you go along to the king? King has lots of evil spirits and everything like that. If you'll play to him, you'll make him better and everything like that. And that's exactly what he did. He took away along his lyre, and that's what he did. The next one I just wanted to pick up, and again, a podcast that I've just been listening to this week, really, was really interesting because it kind of immediately came on. I just went into a podcast, and straight away this story came on about slaying of the Goliath as I was doing some of this stuff for today. And what was really interesting about the Goliath story, and we could spend a long time talking about that, but interesting for David, really, was that, first of all, the enemies that were going on, so the whole thing about Goliath, 40 days, and I hadn't quite kind of realised this, for 40 days this giant had been coming out and actually taunting the Israelites to kind of like, you know, come and put somebody up here, you know, you're scared, you've got to put your best warrior and everything else. So 40 days, David had been hearing this about, you know, you're useless and everything like that. His older brother also said, what are you doing down here? Go back to the sheep, you're only the youngest son, go back to the sheep, you know, you're not really wanted here, etc. And even King Saul was saying to him, you don't want to do this, you're not really suitable for this. It was only when he started actually saying, my God's called me and my God will protect me, God's promise, God will protect me, that Saul all of a sudden said, yeah, I think I should send you out. And we know for people that have kind of done that, it's a really interesting story, but I thought it was really interesting in your work situation. How many times do we hear people stopping us? How many times do we say to people, don't do this, you're not going to do this and everything like that? And how well do we then step out? So David stood out, regardless of all that hearing, he stood out. I don't think I would have been very good at going out in front of the Goliath and actually doing that, really, but he kind of went out. And a couple of other things of David's, you know, he was pursued by King Saul when obviously Saul was feeling threatened. He started kind of really, really pursuing him all over the place. In fact, David went into a cave to try and hide, etc. I found it interesting that David never raised a hand against Saul, really. So regardless of what was happening, he never, all the difficulty he had and all the horrible things that Saul was doing to him, he never raised a hand in terms of where we were. In the time he was alone in the dark, I mean, he was on the run, and yet he still stayed close to God. And a lot of the Psalms, I was going to play Psalm 23, but interestingly enough, the 9 o'clock service next week is all talking and unpacking, I noticed, Psalm 23. But again, I play that an awful lot, the, you know, the Lord's my shepherd. And interestingly enough, now in Google, you can ask for all the different types of music styles, and you can listen to Psalm 23 in lots of different styles, but you can see how David, you know, was struggling, really. He was very frustrated with God's plans. You know, what's God doing for me? Where am I? Why am I, you know, where am I going? What am I doing? But interestingly enough, all the way through, he knew God as an internal compass. You know, he had God there all the time. And he rose up a mighty army, and he was always asking God for permission or instructions. He kind of followed God all the way through, really. The bit I kind of find really, you know, kind of interesting and gives me some hope, he went off the rails many times. And in our own lives, you know, we go off the rails, don't we? You know, and there's nothing wrong with that. We go off the rails, but God will bring us back onto the rails very quickly as well, really. So, and he ruled for 40 years from when he was 30. So kind of quite amazing. And the last thing I kind of put up, really, is lots of things he did, he had no idea what the implications, that we would be sitting here hundreds of years later talking about that man. And I kind of think when we're at work, we're trying to see all the picture, we have no idea. I have no idea when I go alongside somebody and change their job or where they are, what is going to happen to them and what that step is actually done for them and where they are, really. So what should we do, really? I mean, the first thing, really, that I have, and I've learned, I have to say, late in life, is keeping closer to God, really. So how well do you put God in front of you every day? How well do you put God in front of you when you're actually in meetings? One of the things about leadership and Christian leadership, I went on quite a few courses about Christian leadership, really, it is as basic as, are you keeping your eyes on God? And are you listening to where God wants you to be? So when I walk around the campus, I'm all the time now, God, where do you want me to walk and where do you want me to be? And it is really interesting how God directs me to different groups of people. And all of a sudden, I kind of think, wow, I would never have known that was happening. And some problems that we've got, and I've heard it and seen it and everything like that. So the whole thing about prayer and listening to God, really. So this whole thing about prayer and praying constantly, which again, I find really, really difficult. You know, is God there? Is God listening to me? Etc. But really, really difficult. But again, I've found in my own time recently, when you put prayer into your work situation or where you are with friends and everything like that, it is kind of quite amazing. And when you listen. And I did want to pick up, Lizzie, it was really interesting when you were talking, because I was going to use, and I don't have to really, is that ocean song, really. Because what is really interesting there, which has really been a challenge for me, is the whole story of Peter walking out from the boat. And we hear quite a lot of that, really. It Is Well is another song where they talk about looking, focusing on God. And it is so easy to look downwards to our problems and look down to what's going on in our lives. And yet you see in this story, really, where it says, look at me. And as soon as Peter stopped looking, we saw him going back down into the water, really. And Lizzie's quite right. We sing these songs, really, where we say, look above the ocean. Let me walk upon the water wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Saviour. And I just put them on the bottom one, which I struggle with personally. Is it God's will or is it my will? How quickly you can move into my will from God's will, really. And sometimes when it goes well, it's much easier to move into my will. When things are all right at home, when our finances are all right, when our everything like that, we kind of move into my will quite quickly, really. And it's kind of, do we need God and why do we need it and everything like that? When we're at work, quite often we kind of go into my will of what I'm doing, what I'm presenting and how I'm doing it, and how quickly you can get off track and how your rails can go when you don't have that, really. So I want to just kind of end by just looking at the Lord's Prayer. I'm just going to read it, first of all, and I'm going to ask Mark in a minute to play the song of Our Father. Our Father, it's a prayer that's kept me all the way through my life, despite kind of moving away at different times. One thing my mum did to me very well was actually get me used to saying the Lord's Prayer every night, and it has stayed with me all the way through. So even when I was quite a distant, it was really quite funny. I would say the Lord's Prayer and I really wouldn't feel an awful lot about it, but I actually felt God was there even when I was kind of fairly distant, really. Because I've said it so many times, I hadn't actually really connected that the kingdom come was twice in the Lord's Prayer, which is strange, really. I hadn't really picked it up, really. So, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, that we're all called wherever we are with any person that we're with to bring God's kingdom here on earth. And for thine is the kingdom, the power, I thought was really interesting, the power and the glory. That, you know, there is nothing impossible with God, but we so quickly step back. I was led to a piece in the Bible this morning, actually, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 15 to 20. And I think what's challenging is here today, we may have people that have got difficulties in your work situation, difficulties in your families, difficulties with your relationships. You may not be a Christian yet, or you may be somebody who has been a Christian and you're at the stage where you're still not sure where God is and what God is feeling like, really. So I just want to read this, one of Paul's letters to Corinth, just these five verses, because I think it really speaks out. So if you want to just close your eyes as I just read from verse 15. He died for everyone, so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ, who died and was raised for them. So we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone and a new life has begun. And all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ.